Well, one of the things that people may ask is, how did you end up going to Israel? And there was a number of different reasons. One reason is simply that I've wanted to go to Israel. It's the land of the Bible. When you hear people talk about going up from Jericho to Jerusalem, and you look at the map and you think, why would they say that? And you think of, why couldn't the children of Israel drive out the people that lived in the mountains? And, you know, there's different things that may not make that much sense, but I wanted to see what the land of the Bible is about. Another reason was that Mark and Mary Kipfer are in Jerusalem right now. They live in the old city. They work under CAM, Christian Aid Ministries. And he works with an organization called Palestinian Bible something. I've forgotten exactly. But mostly what he does is he works with people who are handicapped and provides walkers or wheelchairs or those kinds of things. So we wanted to visit Mark and Mary while they're there. It is, I think it's safe to say that they feel a little isolated because there's not very many of them. And I don't know that Jerusalem is that much different than a lot of other places where people are in service, but it's a little easier to get to El Salvador, for instance, than to the land of Israel. And so there's a little more going back and forth. And the other thing that made us want to go to Israel was that Rosa's sister, Amy, went to Israel a couple of years ago with an organization called Abundant Hope International. Now, Abundant Hope, it focuses primarily on survivors of the Holocaust, Jews who have moved to Israel who survived the Holocaust, and that's been 70 years ago. And one of the things they do is they do little work projects for people who are in need and don't have the funds to do painting and fix little things, that sort of thing. And visitation. They visit folks who are survivors. Now, you can understand that a person who has been through trauma, many of them, they are one of a very few of their entire families that is surviving. So when important events of our families happen, uncles and aunts and grandparents all come to these events. They don't have that because they are so that it's they're alone a lot. And so that was another reason that we wanted so Amy said, you know what, I'm going to go back this year. Don't you guys want to come along? Well, she talked her husband into going. And so Amy and her husband Jason and Rosa and I and two other ladies from the Lancaster County, Pennsylvania area went. That was the team that went from New York City. I mean, they went from Pennsylvania. We flew out of, actually, Newark, New Jersey, but it's kind of considered New York City. So, Laverne asked me to talk and to talk, have a Good Friday session, and I said, well, okay, is it okay if I show some pictures too? He thought that'd be all right. So it might get a little lopsided with showing pictures, and then relatively short Good Friday sermon. Sermonette or something, I guess, maybe. Okay, let's see if we can make technology behave now. It's usually good to get here 15 minutes ahead of time so you can test all this stuff, right? Well, the first thing I'm going to show is the map of... I don't want to get stuck behind this, but I am, I guess. The map of Israel, if you look over here, Jerusalem is about the same latitude as Jacksonville, Florida. And the country of Israel is about one-tenth the size of Kansas in land. But they raise a lot of food there. So the first thing we did when we came to Israel is we flew into Tel Aviv, and then we took a train up here to, it says Acre. The current name for Acre is ACCO, A-C-C-O. And there we met the team. And here is the Beit Shalom is the name of the house that the organization uses. And here you can see Jason and I did some painting. Mark Kipfer actually joined us the very first day that we were there. He and Mary were on a couple days off, and so they joined us, and he did some of the... It was this kind of stuff in bedrooms and around. This is actually in the house, the Beit Shalom house. The house of Beit Shalom means house of peace. And so we did some work projects for different people. This is pictures of folks that Rosa and this is Amy and Mary and some of the folks that they visited. This is a little lap quilt that my mother quilted a number of years ago, and Rosa did the binding and gave it to this lady, and her name is Anessa, and she is 94 years old and lived in Russia before coming. Now, many of the folks, when they got the chance to move to Israel, many Jews who were used to being persecuted, not persecuted, but didn't have the ability to leave before, when they got the chance, like this lady here, in 1990, when Russia was opened up, she was among the first to get out. She had been a doctor for 38 years, and when you hit magic 40 years, then you get a pension. If you don't, you're out of luck. So she said, I am leaving as soon as I can, and she moved. This is a memorial that's erected at the Yad Vashem Memorial in Jerusalem. This is a memorial to the survivors of the Holocaust. How many people know what the Holocaust is? Great. Well, even though it's been 70 years, it's good to see that many people understand some about what the Holocaust was about. Millions of Jews, just because they were Jewish, were murdered. This is a famous, and I've forgotten, Martin Niemöller, a German pastor, who made this comment. What he was saying was that by doing nothing, you are in effect helping those who oppress others, and you can't be neutral when you see crimes being done to other humans. One of the folks that we went to see back when we were with the organization in Akko, one of the things we did was we delivered flowers for the National Women's Day, which is a Russian holiday that is still celebrated some in Israel. And one of the folks told us, he knew that we were with this organization. He said, "Don't forget what happened. Tell your children and your grandchildren so it won't happen again. Even after all these years, it's very real and personal to them." Okay, so this is the team that went. Here's Jason and Amy, Rosa and me. This is Brecht. She is from Holland. And she speaks Yiddish, and so she acted as an interpreter. Rosa, what's this lady's name? I've forgotten. This one here. Well, I can't remember either. She was also an interpreter. She was from Russia. And the folks, the Jews who immigrate to Israel are not so different from the people who immigrate to New York City and other places. They find others that speak their language, and so there are communities of immigrants who still speak, they may speak some Hebrew, but mostly they speak Russian, their native tongue. And so this lady, Elena is her name, she is volunteering for the organization for a number of months. In fact, I think it's a year. As an interpreter to go to visit survivors. This is Susan. She is the CEO, the organizer of the ACA, Abundant Hope International. And Martha Mellinger was our tour leader and the other lady. Okay, so why is this area so important? It's important because it is. I mean, if you look at it, here is Africa, China's over here, Europe is over here, sits on the Mediterranean, and over here is this country over here where we live. So why is it so important? Well, to get stuff from India, you either have to go across the desert here and get it onto the Mediterranean. Once you get on the Mediterranean, you have all kinds of shipping available. You can get to Turkey, you can get to Greece, you can get to Europe, you can get to Italy, a lot of different places. But to get stuff across here, and then there's this canal, this waterway here. Right now they've opened up the Suez Canal for shipping across there, but in the early days, they didn't have that. And so much of the goods would come up here and it would come along the Jordan River and then go across here because there's a range of mountains in here that you can't get across and there's desert across here. So that's one of the reasons that the land of Israel is important because it's a critical drive-through. It's a junction, if you please. So goods coming from Africa or Egypt come this way to get to the Mediterranean and vice versa. So if you wanted some spices from India, you didn't want to go all the way around here, around South Africa, to get there. I found it interesting, in the airport was this plaque, "Birds Migrating in Israel." Now notice how from this, actually, let's go to this one. Here's an exploded view. So they can't get across this water, so they fly up through this little area through here. And so many going from Russia and far north down to Africa, if they migrate, they may migrate through Israel. So again, here's another picture coming up, and there's a mountain range that extends almost all the way through from far south to the north here, close to Mount Carmel. This is a picture of what you see just a few miles to the east of Jerusalem. Now down in here, you notice some green. Well, this is the river Kelt, or the Wadi Kelt, they call it. And down in the bottom here, there are some green things. You can also see, this is the time we were there, was early March. You could actually, there's some green stuff on here. If you look very closely, we saw some sheep and goats in areas like this, where you'd think, there just isn't anything there to eat. But they can subsist there if they get moved from one place to the next and get the. So, Jerusalem is an interesting city. It's a modern city. There's high rises and stuff like that. Then there's the old city. This is actually a view from the top of the city, the old city wall. And notice these notches in here. Well, that was so that people could people that were protecting the city could shoot down on any attackers that were here. And this has been largely rebuilt in modern times, and I forget exactly when, but they think it's pretty close to the way it was. Now, here's another picture of the modern city. Now look at those walls. They're just massive. In some places, they built, I've forgotten what they call these, but instead of being straight down to the bottom where an attacker could get to you, they built these angled places where they couldn't scale the wall, and somebody with an arrow could shoot down there at an angle and shoot anybody that was trying to attack. So, lots of narrow streets. Oh, and I got a disclaimer. I have been accused of taking pictures of garbage trucks. So if a garbage truck sneaks in here somewhere, you will have to forgive me. But there are lots of narrow streets in here. Now this is, in fact, a garbage truck. But notice how narrow the streets are. These garbage trucks actually do dual duty, because certain times of the day they are seen carrying freight in. And I don't have a... Here's a picture of Mark walking, Mark Kipfer walking. And you notice how narrow these streets are. And so we did occasionally see a bicycle, but no cars in these kind of streets, because they're just too tiny. Most of the streets were up and down like this. There were steps. Jerusalem is not flat. Jerusalem is either up or down. And in some cases, it was up both ways, it seemed like. But so, and food. This guy is getting ready to make a shawarma. It is the Israeli version, or a Israeli version of a sub sandwich. The turkey or chicken or beef is on a spit here, and the meat is packed together into a cylinder about maybe 6 inches in diameter, and then it slowly turns, and around the back here are heaters that heat it up. And so, in effect, it's grilled, and then when you walk up and say, I'd like a shawarma with chicken, then he takes a knife and shaves off some of the meat off, just into little pieces, and then he puts some seasonings in, and then, of course, hummus. You put hummus in here, and then there's all these different things that you can pick. Pickled carrots, pickled cucumber, cabbage, some onions, tomatoes, so a lot of different stuff, depending on how you like it. Olives and more olives. This is a picture at a Jewish market that we were at. So if you like olives, and some of us liked olives better than others, and somebody said, well, I'll just, for 10 shekels or for $2.50, you can get an assortment. So he picked out some of these and some of those and some of these, and so you can... I got this one for John and Frida. I was amazed at the fresh produce that was here in the markets. And almost everything is raised right here in Israel. Very intensive, like hoop houses, bananas, cheeses. Here's a guy who had just made a cheese plate for some fancy deal. And if you don't look too closely, you won't notice these bottles back here. One evening, Rosa said, well, let's just go get a hamburger someplace. So we went to a place, and they said, hamburgers and fries, and you get salad along with it. Well, this is their version of the salad. You have this stuff, and this is a tomato-based concoction that is a little hot. I think this is cabbage and some carrots, and eggplant is a big thing, too, over there. But there are lots of different things. A lot of them are vinegar-based, and so it has a distinct taste. This is over in Jericho, just a sample of some of the fruits. They have, and we drove past places where they had bananas growing in hoop houses that were closed up to keep varmints and stuff out. This is now our tour guide who was with us, and I'm sorry, it's not a very good picture. He is a observant Jew and is telling us about the city of Jerusalem. Now, we stayed here at the Christ Church, and to get to Mark and Mary's house, you go up this little street and down this busy street. This is the Christian Quarter Street, and there's shops all along there. You can also take the freeway around the outside, the not-so-busy street. But if you walk down this way, make a jog, and right here is where Mark and Mary live. So it's about 6 minutes away from where we stayed is where Mark and Mary's house is. One morning when we walked out, these folks were outside the place where we stayed. Anybody recognize anybody here? Well, there's Aaron Lapp, and he looks just like he did 30 years ago when he was at CBS. Oh, and his new wife. I've forgotten what her name is, but this is her. This is another couple. Were they from Lancaster County, maybe? Amos and somebody. Now, this is a picture I want you to take particular note of. This is a pose, Mark and Mary and Jason and Amy and Rosa. The day before, Mark was sitting on this park bench where these folks are. And you notice up here, you can't really see, but there's glass panes all the way around the top. Well, there was a, just down the street down this way, Mark was sitting here waiting on somebody, I think. I've forgotten now. But he hears shots fired, and this pane of glass got shot out. And it fell down here on the street and made a mess down here. So an Arab youngster decided he would stab somebody, and so he was shot, and a stray bullet knocked out that. So, but you are far less likely to get killed in Israel than you are in the United States. So, while it seems that things can be, there can be a lot of conflict and turmoil, it is not necessarily more so than other places. This is a picture of the outside area of Mark and Mary's. And I didn't get a picture of them together, but there's some steps that go up to the... They have a... You know, Jesus said, told his disciples to go find a large upper room furnished. This is an upper room, but it is not large. They They have a kitchen and a bedroom and a living room that are from one end to the other about probably 20 feet. So you can get out of bed and with just a few steps be over by the coffee makers. So here is Mark. This is the shop where, it's their warehouse where, and these are wheelchairs. Now, this is extra full because they just got a container of wheelchairs, came through customs that have been sitting in customs for a long time. This is Abu Peter. He is a Christian Arab who is heading up the Palestinian Bible Association or something. Mark and Jason. Now, I want you to look at this little tag there. It says WFW, and you're saying, what does that mean? Anybody heard of Johnny Erickson Tada? Of course we have. She has started a organization to repair and refurbish wheelchairs. Well, this particular wheelchair came from this organization, and it was restored at the Norton Correctional Facility north of Hayes here in Kansas, and it ended up in Jerusalem. So I found that very interesting, that here is a wheelchair that came from the plains of Kansas and is now in Jerusalem. Actually, it went... this is a picture now of the wheelchair, that same wheelchair that we took to this young man and his family. See, there's Jason and Mark. His family, I assume, his mother probably, a sister maybe, or a sister-in-law. And this lady here is the social worker. We'd say it's with SRS or somebody like that. So she was... Abu Peter had organized the places we were going to go, and then she goes along as an official representative of the SRS to make sure that everything happens correctly. Now, notice these cups. These are coffee cups. We stopped at about five different places, and out of those five, four of us gave us coffee. It is not your typical American coffee. There's a reason the cups are small. It is generally very strong coffee, and you are not necessarily expected to drink it all, but you're supposed to at least sip some of it. Okay, so that's a very quick overview of the things that we did, and so now I'm going to shift gears to talk about Good Friday briefly. This is the view from the Mount of Olives towards the Temple Mount. And, you can see the Dome of the Rock. It's a Muslim mosque right on the area where it is believed that the Herod's temple once stood. The wall extends around here and so on. Over here off to the side is a church that I'll show you a picture of in a minute that is believed, well, when people say that this is the spot where Jesus was buried, or this is the spot where he was crucified, or this is the spot where he walked up the Via della Rosa, which is the road of agony where he carried the cross. I am inclined to think that it is possible. It is It is likely. Well, he was crucified somewhere. He was. All these places happened somewhere within a few miles. But I don't put much stock in people who say, this church is right here on the exact spot of. Well, it may be. Is this the tomb in which Jesus was buried? We don't know. It's possible. But and it's okay to look at the tomb and to see it and to realize that here's this is a tomb like this where it could have happened. Now this, I'm sure, looked very different in Jesus' day when he came from Bethany and was on the Mount of Olives, and he looked down and said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I wanted to take you under my wings as a hen does her chicks, but you wouldn't do it." So right in here somewhere, and I can't quite see it, is the gate where he probably went in and went into the Temple Mount, and his disciples said, "Look at these huge stones." And Jesus says, "Yeah, but you know, not one of them is going to be left on top of each other. It's going to be completely torn down." Okay, this is, these two pictures on the top here are of what is known as the Garden of Gethsemane today. This is a picture, a better picture of olive trees. This is not in the Garden of Gethsemane. They have fences and all kinds of stuff around it where you can't take any pictures if there were olive trees like that. Notice how these huge old trees, olive trees grow to be hundreds of years old. And out of this old tree, you can see some new shoots sprouting out. And so, who's to say how old those trees are? I don't know. Well, I'm going to move now to read some scriptures. This is after the Last Supper. And we don't know for sure where it was. I mean, there's speculations. There's a church right in the old city that is called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. Well, this is the sepulchre. This is the place where it was. Well, I don't think it was inside the city limits, the city wall there, but so those kinds of things. Oh, and there's this Via Della Rosa. There are different stations, at least 10 different stations. One is one place, and here's where he got the cross, and different places. To make my point, our guide told us that in the last 10 years, one of the stations where this happened or that happened was moved to a different location because the gift shop close by wasn't getting enough business through the gift shop. So, do things change over time? They may. After singing a hymn, so this is after the Last Supper, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." But Peter said to him, "Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away." And then Jesus said what he did. Then skipping to verse 36, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." This is at night, so it didn't look like this when he got there. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, So, you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again a second time and prayed, My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy, and he left them again, and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand. While he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came up, and accompanied by a large crowd with clubs and swords, who came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he who was betraying him gave them a sign, saying, Whomever I kiss, he's the one. Seize him. Immediately Judas went to Jesus and said, Hail, Rabbi, and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, Friend, do what you have come for. Then they came, laid hands on Jesus, and seized him. So then they took him to Caiaphas' house. And on the side of the church, this is actually the church of, the church of St. Peter, but here at the, there's a mosaic on the wall there that talks about, and I can't read what it says in Latin, but it says something about Caiaphas. So that's supposedly him. Here's a bas-relief of Jesus being arrested and taken to the high priest. So then this... Okay, then this next one is, so here, up here on this mountain, here is thought to be the site of the Mount of Olives, and we're looking at that from Caiaphas's, the church that's at Church of St. Peter at Caiaphas's house. So from this spot down here, we're looking across the valley, and, you know, I didn't have any way to know how far this is, but it would have been a half hour's walk. Steep terrain to get across here. Now, whether it was that far or not, I'm not going to say, but the it wasn't just the physical. We know that when Jesus was carrying the cross then later, he couldn't because he was so exhausted. But it's not just the physical. It's the, here is Judas who's just betrayed him. So he's here at, in verse 57 in Matthew 26, it says, Those who had seized Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and elders were gathered together. But Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and entered in, and sat down with the officers to see the outcome. Outside this church was a statue of Peter warming his hands by the fire, and the servant girl and some other people around there thought that was interesting, but I failed to get a picture of that. So then on in the trial, Jesus kept silent, and the high priest said unto him, I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, You have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. So, we know the story. We know the trauma. This is not the supposed tomb, but I wanted to leave this as a sign of the resurrection. I know this is Good Friday, and we're jumping the gun a little, but I hated to talk just about Good Friday. Jesus is alive. So here are tired travelers waiting for the bus to take us back to the airport. So I guess we get to sing a few more songs.